Today is the centennial of the birth of Elizabeth Bishop, the country's poet laureate in 1949, a Pulitzer Prize winner in 1956, one of the most important poets of the last century. To mark her birthday, there are celebrations in her birthplace, Worcester, Massachusetts, in Nova Scotia, where she spent much of her childhood, and in Brazil, where she lived for almost two decades. Three new editions of her work are being published. Past collections have been bestsellers. But today we're going to try to understand Elizabeth Bishop better through just one poem. Lloyd Schwartz is professor of English at UMass Boston. Listeners might also recognize him as a frequent contributor to NPR's Fresh Air, but we know him as our resident Elizabeth Bishop devotee. Lloyd, nice to see you as always.
Nice to be here.
Why? Why are you such a fan of this writing? Others are as well, but if you had to say what it is, what is it?
There's a wonderful statement that she made about the qualities that she liked in the poetry that she loved. Accuracy, spontaneity, and mystery. And I don't know another poet whom those three qualities describe better than Elizabeth Bishop. The precision of her images, the precision of her language, the sense of someone talking to you and not just pontificating, and then the undefinable, the ineffable, the uncanny, that quality of magic, really, that's beyond calculation.
Yeah.
And those three qualities are so present in almost everything she wrote.
Well, for instance, noticing a dog on the streets of Brazil. We asked you to bring an Elizabeth Bishop poem that speaks to you, and you chose Pink Dog. Why?
Well, this was probably the last, almost certainly the last poem she finished before she died. She died very suddenly. Mm. She was working on this poem 15 years earlier when she was living in Brazil, and she had lived in Brazil for almost a couple of decades. This seems to be a poem that she was writing as she was preparing to end her life in Brazil and return to the United States. She, in some way, is the pink dog, this, what she thought of herself as this ugly, ill creature, pink in a culture of suntans and darker skins, sticking out, not fitting in, and she's kind of talking to herself in this poem.
That's so interesting. First, can we hear some, just the opening stanzas?
And sure.
Talk more about it.
Let me set this up by saying that I think that this poem begins as a kind of parody of The Girl from Ipanema.
Yes.
It's certainly a song she knew. She was a very close friend of the lyricist of that song. And it was so famous, and the girl in the song was probably someone Bishop actually knew.
Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah.
The song is about this gorgeous woman in a bikini crossing the street to go to the beach. And in this poem, instead of a beautiful woman, it's this ugly, hairless dog.
Well, everybody has that song in their head, so go ahead.
The sun is blazing and the sky is blue. Umbrellas clothe the beach in every hue. Naked, you trot across the avenue. Oh, never have I seen a dog so bare, naked and pink without a single hair. Startled, the passers-by draw back and stare.
Oh, it's perfect. You're absolutely right. Well, but then it goes on, and suddenly, you know, she says they're afraid of rabies.
And it gets worse. The poem almost veers into this amazing passage, which I think is so beautifully written with alliteration and beautiful sound effects, in which she is describing this absolute horrible situation. Didn't you know it's been in all the papers to solve this problem, how they deal with beggars? they take and throw them in the tidal rivers. Yes, idiots, paralytics, parasites go bobbing in the ebbing sewage nights out in the suburbs where there are no lights. And then this joke. In the cafes and on the sidewalk corners, the joke is going round that all the beggars who can afford them now wear life preservers. In your condition, you would not be able even to float, much less to dog paddle. Nice little joke herself.
Referring to the dog again. But this is why I was surprised that you thought this was about her feeling like an outsider and obviously sick at this point. I thought it was literally about the beggars.
Well, it is. But she is identifying with this creature and these other creatures whom the police want to keep out of sight.
She's again speaking to this poor dog who has, you know, hanging teats and must have children living somewhere, this dog out begging with the people out begging, and suggests what to the dog?
She suggests that the dog wear a carnival costume, a fantasia, and a mask, the Portuguese word is máscara, to cover up her ugly, diseased body and become part of the carnival where no one will be staring at her because everyone is part of this great celebration. I love this first stanza that I'm going to read because it's the one in which she is most imitating the samba or bossa nova rhythms. And in order to keep the rhymes in the poem, she actually hyphenates the word an. So the A comes at the end of the line and the N comes at the beginning of the next line.
Okay.
Now look, the practical, the sensible solution is to wear a fantasia. Tonight you simply can't afford to be a nysore, but no one will ever see a dog in mascara this time of year. Ash Wednesday'll come, but carnival is here. What sambas can you dance? What will you wear? They say that carnival's degenerating. Radios, Americans, or something have ruined it completely. They're just talking. Carnival is always wonderful. A depilated dog would not look well. Dress up. Dress up and dance at carnival.
Lloyd Schwartz reading the final stanzas of the poem Pink Dog from Elizabeth Bishop as we celebrate what would have been her 100th birthday. You picked this poem, again, because it was possibly the last one she wrote before dying. Where does it fit in her canon?
It's a kind of revelation of the way that she's not always such a genteel and refined poet. I mean, she could be that too, but there was some deeper undercurrent in all of her work, and this violent and upsetting undercurrent really comes to the surface in this work.
Lloyd, thank you so much. I enjoyed it, but would never have understood it as we do now. No, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Robin.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem e que passa, doce balão.